This morning we're continuing our series on growing gratitude, a series that is bringing us now this week into the week of Thanksgiving, and then we'll conclude that next Sunday after we have our day of Thanksgiving during this week. Growing gratitude, what it means for us to be people who are grateful, not just as something we feel, because often I feel grateful and I feel thankful, but how do I live that? How does that take shape in my life and who I am? And how do I express that in ways? How do I grow that gratitude in me that changes who I am and how I live and how that shows up? And what we've been doing with that is looking at words that come from the book of James, because James is such a practical book of the Bible, such practical real-life advice for us to apply there as it comes from God. So this morning, I'm going to be once again looking at a passage from James. This is from James chapter 3, and I'm beginning at verse 13. James 3, verse 13, where he writes this. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. James is so practical. Right? He lays it right out and gives some steps of how it is that God desires for his people to live. As we think about what it means for us to be grateful people and to grow in that gratitude, what we see here is James contrasting some different types of wisdom as it comes to us. And in fact, James has some words here that almost appear sarcastic, right? That he talks about this earthly wisdom, a wisdom that comes from earth, an earthly wisdom that comes, and he does that, you notice in the passage where he read it, that the NIV translation puts quotation marks around that. That's kind of James' way of doing the air quote, I'm being sarcastic. You realize we're not really talking about wisdom here, but we're talking about something that's actually rather foolish in the ways of this world. But he's sarcastic like that in a way where I think he's cluing us into something, right? He's telling us that, you know what, the world passes this off for wisdom, and I think oftentimes, we get duped by that, that we take that in as wisdom as well. And so James offers these as some of those practical applications for us. And if you've read James at all at any other time, you know the places where James applies this. That often James, he carries out these themes, the themes of our words. That what we say, our words make a difference. We talked about that a little bit last week with a passage we looked at. But also our actions, what we do, that our faith shows up in who we are and in how we live. So he's trying to help us apply that with these contrasting views of wisdom and what it means for us to live as people who are grateful based on that wisdom we see. So what does that look like? How does that work? He talks about this earthly wisdom being sarcastic. It's not really wisdom at all. And he uses two terms to define that, right? He talks about that in terms of envy, bitter envy, and selfish ambition. Now, maybe those are words that right away we would look at that. Envy, selfishness, I know those things aren't wise, right? I know that those things are not actually wisdom that comes from God. I know from my upbringing and I know from reading the Bible and various other places that to be an envious person and to be a selfish person is not actually a good thing. I've learned that. In the 1987 movie Wall Street, Actor Michael Douglas plays the character Gordon Gekko. Gordon Gekko is a Wall Street trader, and he makes billions of dollars for companies. And there's a scene in that movie where Gordon Gekko is standing up in front of a room full of corporate executives and shareholders and all the vice presidents of the company and the board of directors. All of these people are gathered in this room, and he gives this speech to all of these people to where he pitches the idea that greed is a good thing. Right? In his estimation of how in corporate America, how corporations make money and rise above the rest, is to embrace greed, selfishness. That the thing that makes you a cut above the competition is to want it more, be greedier about it than anybody else. That in his estimation, by the character Gordon Gekko, that free market capitalism works and thrives because of greed, or so he thinks. Pitches that as a good thing. So I wonder where that takes shape for you and I. I wonder where you and I have convinced ourselves at some point in our life where envy and selfish ambition are not actually all that bad, but maybe there's a little something good that can come out of that. What are those points in my own life where this thing that right away when I read it in James, yeah, I know, that's not actually wisdom. But wait, I should pause. We should pause and ask ourselves, is there a space? Is there a space in my life somewhere where that has actually worked its way in and taken root somewhere? Somewhere in my life where some kind of envy or selfishness shows up? And I've dismissed it away as, oh, that's not bad. It's not all that bad at all. Can I give one? One that maybe has become a little more real to me after moving back to Michigan? Traffic merging. So the various other places that I've lived, which have been much more urban places, I think when I drive there, right, there's an understanding in traffic. In Chicago or Denver or some of the other places that where you find a place in traffic where all of a sudden you all have to merge into one space, there seems to be this understanding. At least when I lived in Denver, there was an understanding. You use all the lanes you have until you get to that merge, and then you take turns, every other car. It's an unwritten rule that's just the way everybody drives there. I don't know what's wrong with West Michigan. Because I experienced it just this week, Thursday on the snowy night, and there was a little accident somewhere. So it's like 15 miles back that everyone all of a sudden starts having to feel like, I need to get over right now. I only need to get over in that lane. And then, I don't know what happens. I don't know how this works, but then it seems to be that once I get in that lane, my single job is not to let anybody else in that lane. Why do we all do this? We drive that way, that we fight that way tensely to find my space in, and then we fight intensely to not let anybody else in, at least not in front of me. You can go behind me, that's fine. We do that. You see, it shows up and it takes root in all these little places like that where we find those places where, you know what, this is mine. This is my lane now. If you want to be in this lane, too bad. You find your own place. But I'm here now. We have little places like that in our lives. Not just in traffic, right? But in my life in general, the way I live, the house I have, the stuff that I own, it's mine. This is my lane. You go find your own lane. Certainly don't think about cutting in front of me. But find a place somewhere else, because I'm protecting what I think is mine. So where have I done this? Where have I convinced myself that a little bit of envy, a little bit of selfishness, bah, it's not all that bad? You see, it takes shape in our lives too. We found places for this. Places where we all go after what's mine. And I don't want to share it with anybody else. And I end up living this life where over and over again it seems like I'm just fighting against other people for what's mine. reminds me of that scene from Nemo with the seagulls that are all going after the one fish. You know that scene? Maybe you don't know or need to remember. Well, sometimes when I view those possessions that I have and I want to own them all and I think of them as just being something that's mine, that I can do whatever I want with, and I am going to fight back or press against and do whatever I can to push away anyone else, all going after that same thing. Like those seagulls. It looks something like this.
Mine.
Okay, don't make any sudden moves. Hop inside my mouth if you want to live.
Hop in your mouth, huh? And how does that make me live?
Mine.
Because I can take you to your son.
Yeah, right.
No, I know your son. He's orange. He's got a gimpy fin on one side.
Fasten your seatbelts!
Seagulls all chasing after the same thing. Mine, 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 mine. Get away. Sometimes that we just live life that way and don't even recognize we're doing that. Don't even recognize what it's doing to us. How that plays itself in that way. But what if there was a different way? Right? What if the way I viewed my possessions didn't have to be about what's mine and everyone else fighting over what they think is theirs, but what if I saw it differently? I spoke to the kids just a little while ago on the steps here about everything being from God, that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and that we then are caretakers, right? That it's not really mine to do whatever I want with, but rather everything that I own, everything that I have has been entrusted to me as a steward to care for it. That when I think about all of those things that I own and all those things that I go after, that these are all things that are gifts from God instead of being something that I have to be fighting other people about. But it's entrusted to me. So what does that look like? What does that kind of generosity look like if I were to live that way? The Bible has a word to talk about this, first fruits. Right, that when I think about all of the things that God has placed within my path, within my life, for me to be a steward with, all the things in my life for which I am a caretaker, I am a guardian of the possessions and the blessings that God has placed within my life. What do I do with that? How do I do that? I think of that in terms of first fruits, that of those things that I give to God first out of that. When I look at the expanse of the wealth that I have and all of the things that I own, all of the things that God has blessed me with, and I look at that and say, you know what, I am going to first think about what I can do to be generous with this. First thing. Rather than the leftovers. Because I think that's often more how it goes. Thanksgiving's coming this week, and we gather and we have big meals, and then comes after that day after day after day of leftovers. I got to think of something to do with the leftovers, and I guess as long as there's leftovers there, we'll have it. And you know what? When the leftovers run out, they run out. So we just take it there. Sometimes, in fact, maybe oftentimes, I view my generosity that way. Leftovers. First, I'm going to take care of me. First, I'm going to take care of all the stuff that I want and all the things that I desire. And you know what? If there's anything left over, then maybe I can be generous. If there's anything at the end of the day that I haven't used on me or what I want, well, then I can be generous with that. But God calls us to a stewardship where we are caretakers of everything that he's given us. And when I'm a caretaker of everything that God has given me, then it's my first job to be generous out of that. So how does that work? What does that look like? How do I turn the corner then from an earthly wisdom and then turn that with what James is calling a wisdom from above, a heavenly wisdom, and what that looks like? James uses some very specific words in this passage to describe what that wisdom looks like, right? A list that looks like this, that it's peace, peace-loving, pure, considerate, submissive. I put in there trusting. That's kind of the Greek word that's being captured by submissive. They're trusting, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That if I start looking at the things that I have, that I am a caretaker of all that God has given and blessed me with, and look at it this way, that it starts showing up in my life. Showing up in who I am and in how I live, that I can be a more generous person when I give of my first fruits, not the leftovers, not the scraps, but if I do it this way. It may even, in fact, show up in the way I drive, in the way I let other traffic find a place as well, sharing the road as I go along. In all these little ways, it shows up in different places in our lives that we find places to be generous. So what does that look like? What does that kind of wisdom look like in our lives? You see, because it's more than just good intentions. Often I think that's the case for me. Often I think that my mantra could be that I'm a person who has good intentions poorly executed. Right? I have all the best intentions of the world. I really want to be a generous person. I really desire to do that. The intentions are all there, but somewhere along the way, the pattern of actually following through and doing something about that gets lost. So how do I get myself from being a person of good intentions, my desire to be generous, to a person who can actually develop and live that way? How can I move that way? Maybe it just takes a pattern, a habit, to take one step, to develop one thing. Start with that, to see what this harvest of righteousness looks like that James is talking about. So how do I do that? Right? How do I make that move? What do I do? Or in other words, how do I grow gratitude? Because that's what we're talking about in this series. How do I let that kind of gratitude take root, deep, firm root in my life and grow? It's acknowledging a couple of things here. Right? It's acknowledging, first of all, that everything I have is a gift from God. Everything I have is a gift from God. Anytime I find myself with anything that was within my possession saying, mine, not God's, mine, that I should catch myself there. Catch myself and remind myself, wait, God has entrusted this to me. God has entrusted the possessions that I have to me to be a caretaker, to be a steward, to do something with that. And I can be generous with that. So not only am I reminded then that everything I have is a gift from God, but then secondly, I am reminded that God has faithfully provided for everything I need. I think there's a key word in that statement, need. God has provided for everything I need, because how quickly, day after day, I turn that into everything I want. And you know what? God does not always provide for everything I want. Because so often, my list of things that I want are not always the things that I need. So at what point do I recognize God's faithfulness? that everything that I have is a gift that comes from God and belongs to God. And you know what? God has always faithfully provided for everything that I need. He has always been there to sustain me within that. I'll be the first one to admit that doesn't always go the way that I want. And I think if I hear enough stories here, I know we would all have stories like that. God doesn't always give us the life that we want, but he does always provide for what we need. So where does that leave me? That leaves me needing to declare something, that if I'm going to be a person who grows in gratitude, I have to start with being able to say this statement. I need to be able to say, I am blessed. Because often I forget that. Often I forget and I keep thinking about all those other things that I want. That, you know what, I don't think I'll feel blessed until I get this, until I own that, until I earn or deserve or get what I desire. And when I live that way, I forget that I can state that right now. Right now I can say, no matter who you are, no matter where in life you are, no matter what circumstances are thrown your way right now, at what point can you rest within that and say, you know what? No matter what life is, no matter what struggles I'm going through, I still know that everything that I have is a gift from God. I still know that God has faithfully provided for everything that I need, and I am blessed. I am blessed. And the reason that I am blessed, God says, is so that I can be a blessing. When God first calls Abraham back in Genesis 12, this is the promise that God made with Abraham. He said this, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. We are all, through Jesus, part of God's family, descendants of Abraham in that way, that God continues to bless the people of this world so that we may be a blessing to others. You see, I cannot be a blessing to others unless I first remember and acknowledge that I am blessed, that God has blessed me, and that the blessing that I may give to others is then an overflow of the blessing that God has given to me, that it works that way. What does that look like? Jesus tells a story. This comes from Luke chapter 21, where Jesus is observing people in the temple. And he says this. In Luke 21, he says, as Jesus looked up, he saw how the rich were putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she gave of her poverty to put in all that she had to live on. You see, it's not how much I give or the size of the gift. It's the heart, right? The heart that recognizes, you know what? I am so blessed, blessed by God in who I am and in what I have, and I have so much to be thankful for. I begin with that, recognizing that I am blessed by God. And then I live as someone who overflows that blessing as the first fruits of what I give, to be generous with others around me. And when I live like that, I find I have a heart gratitude. I'm thankful to God every day for how he provides for me and how I may share in the lives of others from the abundance of that provision. Being grateful to God. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the reminders that we have once again to see that, yes, everything that we have comes from you, that you have provided for all of our needs. Thank you for the reminders that we see from your word that we can live in ways that apply that and live that out. So, Lord, help us. Help us to move beyond good intentions into a place where we can actually live and embrace that heart of gratitude. Help us to do that in ways that give thanks to you and acknowledge that we are blessed by you and you alone. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.